Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Bo, we have Emir Tashem 6 Divrei Torah. Before we do the Divrei Torah, just a quick overview of the Parsha. The Parsha starts off with the 8th of the plagues, locusts, arbeh, and then we go on to the 9th of the plagues, which is the choshech, the darkness that was throughout Mitzrayim for approximately a week. And then we do have continued negotiations between Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu, but they did not reach any conclusions. Paro's heart was hardened, and he did not relent. And then we have the warning of the Makas Bechoros, which is the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn. And then we also have some mitzvahs that are given to Klal Yisrael. We have the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, we have the Pesach offering, the first Pesach in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael, shecht your Pesach offering, take it on the 10th of Nisan, wait a few days, Erev Pesach, that you shecht it and take the blood, and you will put the blood on the lintel of your doors and the doorposts, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pass over the doors of the Jews during the Makas Bechoros while killing off the firstborn of the non-Jews. And that's what we have, that we have the Pesach offering, we have the 10th plague, Makas Bechoros, and we have the actual discussion and the Yetzias Mitzrayim and discussions of how long Klal Yisrael was actually in Egypt, and the various halachas, continued halachas of the Pesach offering. And then we have the Yetzias Mitzrayim, of course, and the mitzvah to remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us there, so it's very powerful language. I will be taking you out. Today you are leaving Mitzrayim, and you should tell your children about this in the future. And we also have at the end of the parsha the mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin should be an os for you on your hands and between your eyes. Because it's actually a part and parcel of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're going to start with our first of our Torah all the way at the beginning of the parsha. And it says as follows, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bo'el Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, go to Paro, or come with me to Paro. I will be going with you. That's why it says, bo, come to Paro. Ki ani ichbaditi es libo. I've hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants. Leman shisi ososai ele bikirbo. So that I can put these signs of mine in his midst. In other words, to do the makos, to do the various plagues and the miracles of taking Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. And you will be able, and you will have the mitzvah of telling your children in the future that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a mockery of Egypt, and tell them about these signs. There's actually a very interesting vortex. It's a drasha on this, and this is our first var Torah that goes as follows, that what are these signs? So the simple understanding is the miracles, the plagues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put onto Egypt, but the Me'or V'Shemesh says as follows, that by virtue of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael merited two osos, two signs, really two mitzvahs, and the first one is Shabbos, because it says when talking about Shabbos, ki os hi beni uveneichem, Shabbos is an os, is a sign between, is a bond between us and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the second of the osos of these signs is tefillin, which also is called an os. V'haya le'os al yadecha, that it should be a sign on your arms. And both, it says by both Shabbos and tefillin, that they are osos and they are zeichel yetzias Mitzrayim. They are there to remind us of Mitzrayim. Why? It's because, as we see on this drush, on this pasuk, it's because of the Yetzias Mitzrayim that we merited these two osos. Leman, that's what the pasuk, it's a drush, it's not the pshat on the pasuk, but leman shisi osos ayele b'kibur. So I can give you, Klal Yisrael, these two osos of tefillin and Shabbos. That's why we are having the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2, we are moving on to the Sefer Tam Vadas of Ramosha Sternbach, that during the 8th plague, the plague of Arbel locusts, here Paro asks Moshe Rabbeinu as follows, Mivav mi halhochim. So who specifically is going on this trip, the trip that you want to take to worship your God for a few days, 3 days, journey to worship your God? Who are you planning on taking along with you? So what's going on here? So Sternbach explains as follows, that Paro was of the view that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed is very lofty, but he is not involved of the details in this world. For example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not paying attention to the tefillahs of each individual. He's too above that. He's in the world above and not coming in and being involved in the details. He's not only her hearing the tefillah of the Gedolei Hador. That's what he's paying attention to. But the regular people, small people, kids, forget it, not interested in. Accordingly, with that belief, Paro asks Moshe Rabbeinu, Miva Mihalchim, so who of your Gedolim are you taking along with you? Effectively, give me a list of who you're planning on taking. And the Kodesh, and Moshe Rabbeinu responds back, I am taking everyone, because when it comes to Klal Yisrael, each and every individual is not only the greatest of people, but what we would call the average people, the normal people, elderly, young. It doesn't matter. Everyone is able to give halal v'chodah, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to thank him for keeping us, protecting us throughout the difficult galus, and this was the first of the galus in Mitzrayim, and each and every one of them is coming along, says Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, that is what we see in the halal, the view of the non-Jews, Ram al kol goyim Hashem al Hashamayim kfodo, when it comes to the view, the perspective of the non-Jews, they view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as lofty. He's only up in the heaven. His greatness, his covet is above, but not below. He's not involved in the details and the normal lives of normal people in this world. But Klal Yisrael says back to them, Mi kashem Elokeinu, who is like our God? Hagmagbila shavis hamishmashbili liros b'shamayim haaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes all the way down. And he comes and he's not only looking and understanding what's going on in the heaven, but the aretz as well down here. Mi kimi me'afardal. God is so involved in this world and the details of each individual. He rises up the dal, the poor from the offer, from the dirt, umashbat yarim evyon, and the poor, the impoverished, the poor of the poor, he will raise up from the ashpa, from the garbage dump. And that is the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being so lofty above, but also being involved in every individual's lives and looking forward to the tefillah of each and every individual. And that's why Paro's view is Miva Mihavahochim. I'm of the view that God is only caring, only pays attention to the tefillah of your Gedolim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that is so incorrect. Each and every individual, whatever status, is important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will participate when we all go and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We are now in the 10th of the Makos. That is the Makas Bechoros, and the Pasuk says, we're in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Hey, that even the firstborn children of the lowly Egyptian maidservants would be punished, would be dying during the Makas Bechoros. So it says in the Pasuk, Ad Bechor HaShifcha She'achar HaReichaim, Rashi says as follows, so why were the Bnei HaShvachas, why are the maidservants, the children of the maidservants, the firstborn children of the maidservants, why are they being punished as well? Sha'af Hem, because they too, they were also hostile to the Jews, and they were happy with the tzuris, with the pain and suffering of the Jewish slaves in Mitzrayim. It says Rav Moshe Sternbach that this is the way. Zohi derech ha'akum, this is the way of the non-Jews, that there's anti-Semitism that is rampant, and the worst is that they are meshabed, physically hostile to Jews. And he says as follows, and even though there are some people that may not be actively hostile, but there are plenty of them that are still very hostile, even internally. It's as if it is something in the DNA, and we see it coming out in the world today, that they are happy with the challenges of Klal Yisrael. And Yimach Shemo Hitler, we saw it so evidently, and this is what the Talmud says, Rav Moshe Sternbach, that we saw it with Hitler, that even the nations around Germany, some of them outwardly assisted, and some of them, like the Poles, were even worse than Germans. Is that what they say? Horrific, being actively involved, but even those who were not actively involved, Gam Elu Shalom Masru Osam Lemis, even those that did not turn over the Jews to death, but they were happy with the tzuris of the Jews. And that, in fact, is what Rashi is saying here. And to review that Rashi again, why are the maidservants, even the firstborn children of the lowly Egyptian maidservants, going to be punished? Because they were happy, they were involved, and even if they were involved, they were happy with the sorrow, the pain and suffering of Klal Yisrael. We see that throughout the world. Unfortunately, nowadays, some non-Jews are actively involved in the anti-Semitism, and even those, some that aren't actively involved, but that is something that they are sitting back and is enjoying, as we saw at that time. And unfortunately, it seems to be a recurring theme in Klal Yisrael. And even when it's not active, it passively continues, and then it raises its ugly head at certain times in history. So we should be zocha, that we should be able to be safe and sound. And for ourselves, we should try to counteract it by making it a Kiddush Hashem. But unfortunately, the anti-Semitism will exist regardless. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. Now, it says that Klal Yisrael, we count based on the lunar moon. So Yisrael Monim LeLevana, and the non-Jews count based on the sun. And why so? Why do the Jews, this is again from Rav Moshe Sternbach, why do we count based on the moon? So the reason is as follows, that what does the moon represent? It represents something that doesn't have its own independent source of life. All of the light of the moon is reflected from the sun. So the sun is the real source of energy and strength, and the moon is simply reflective of that. And accordingly, he says as follows, that we believe that this entire world, the world that we are in right now, being on earth, that is like choshech, that is like darkness, and it doesn't have its own independent vitality, and all of the ore, all of the strength and the energy is olam haba. It's the ruchnius, is the world of spirituality, and this world simply is reflecting that spirituality. And the real thing that we have to look forward to, obviously, is the olam haba. We are here in the what he's calling the choshech, in the darkness, because it doesn't have its own independent vitality. The vitality is a result of olam haba. The vitality is a result of spirituality that we will reap the benefits in the world to come. And that's why that's the true sun, and we are simply living right now in the world of the moon. That is Dvar Torah number 4, the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, and why we count based on the moon. And then we're moving forward to the end of the Parsha. And actually, before that, we're going to go to Upasach Hashem ala Pesach. We are in Kerek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. So we're now talking about Pesach. We may have gone a little bit out of order, that's in order, Baruch Hashem. So Upasach Hashem al HaPesach. So what this means literally, as we mentioned in the introduction, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pass over the entranceways when Klal Yisrael sets up and they put the blood on the lintels and the doorposts of their doors. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will Upasach, that is, pass over the entrance to your homes. Now, the Botzina de Nahora says a drasha on this, something very fascinating. He says, typically, always, in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't save Klal Yisrael. It could be on an individual level. Here we'll talk about on an individual level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to save us unless we take the first step to tshuva. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do everything for us when we want to be chozer b'tshuva, when we did something wrong, or somebody lived a life without Torah and wants to make a turnaround. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you take the first step. And the language of Chazal is, Pischuli Pesach Kechudo Shamachar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, open me up. A little opening, even as small as the opening, the head of a needle. Just a little opening, something. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you take that first step, I will open you up a door as big as a huge room, as the ulam, as a great hall. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open me up a tiny door, a tiny crack. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's the first step you take, and I'll do almost everything else. I'll open you up the door hugely. So it goes as follows, says the Botzina de Nohora, HaPesach, HaFilu HaKatan B'Yosef, even the smallest hole, even the smallest opening, but it's incumbent on us to open up the door. That is how it always works, with one exception. When it came to Mitzrayim, when it came to Egypt, Klal Yisrael was so deep in Tuma that they weren't taking the first step. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it came to Egypt, is saying, I'm going to save Klal Yisrael even if they're not opening up the door even a crack. I will do everything. I will take them out, even if they're not worthy. And that's what this pasuk says, Upasach Hashem ala Pesach. Pasach is, I will pass over. I will forget. I will forgive the requirement of the Pesach here. That's the language that we saw. Peacefully, Pesach kechudo shel macha. Typically, we have to open up a tiny crack, an opening, the door, as small as the prick of a needle. Upasach Hashem ala Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I will, Pasach, Passover, I will forget, I will forgive the typical default that you need to open the Pesach, you need to open the door. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry about it, that when I'm taking you out of Egypt, I am here to do it all for you. I'm going to do that initial opening as well. Now, that's, nowadays we don't have that. We have to always take that first step. We have to remember when we are in genuine and trying to improve, when we are genuine and trying to do tshuva, all we have to do is open up the door a crack, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do everything else for us. We are now moving forward to the way end of the Parsha, Dvar Torah number 6, talking about tefillin, v'haya lecha le'os al yadecha, the tefillin shel yad, the tefillin shel ros. We have two batim, two separate houses of the tefillin. One is on the arm, and here it says, v'haya lecha le'os al yadecha, that os that we referred to earlier, that is talked about specifically when it comes to the shel yad. And when it comes to the tefillin shel yod, it's called a zikaron b'neinecha. It's a remembrance, zecher, zikaron, between your eyes. That's what I'm talking about, tefillin shel rosh. So it's interesting. The tefillin shel yod is called an os, and the tefillin shel rosh is called a zikaron, and we're going to have to explain why. And first, we're going to talk about the dramatic differences between and what they represent, the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. So the Tam Vadas says as follows: when it comes to tefillin shel yad, it's a remez, it's a hint to la'olam hamasa, the world of doing. That's what the hands represent. Actions, doing of mitzvahs, that all of our actions, kol ha'masim shel adam biyadav, everything that we do with our hands, ukeshemineach tefillin shel yad, and when we're putting on tefillin, that's an action. It is a remez to kiyuma mitzvahs, that we are doing mitzvahs and we are subjugating our evarim, our limbs, our bodies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we put it by our heart, by our hearts. The tefillin shel yad is right across from the heart to say that we are subjugating our own personal taivas, inclinations, and desires to the worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the tefillin shel yad is a remez to the world of maisa, la'olam ha'maisa. On the other hand, when it comes to the tefillin shel rosh, it is a remez to the moach, to the brain. And that is to connect our neshamas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our worship, our intellectual worship, our neshamas. That is the connection. That is the tefillin shel rosh, represents the world of the intellect, of the thoughts, and how we think about and interact and have that commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a remnant of the moach. The tefillin shel rosh represents the brain, the intellect, and the emotional, also the connection that we have, the intellectual connection of our neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And accordingly, why do we have, in the pasuk we talk about first the shel yad and the shel, and then the shel rosh. And when we put them on, we put on the shel yad and then the shel rosh, because first we need to start with the doing of the mitzvahs. We have to know the halachas and we do the mitzvahs. And also as the next step, we also have to analyze the reasons for the mitzvahs. And that is the shel rosh, the avoda of our brain, our moach. That is the intellect. And those are the two stages. The body, the arm represents its maisa. The intellect, the brain, represents understanding the maisim that we do. Ma'aseh ha-mitzvahs hem b'firsum. He goes on to say that when we do the actions of the mitzvahs, it is done outwardly, in public. It can be seen. Lefichach nikroim tefillin shel yad. Oh, that is why the tefillin shel yad, when we do a maisa mitzvah, when we give tzedakah, when we put on tefillin, when we hold the lulav, when we sit in the sukkah, these are all things that can be seen. The maisa, the mitzvahs can be seen, and that's why the tefillin shel yad is called an os. What is that? That's a remez to the kiyum hamitzvahs, the doing of the mitzvahs. However, avodas hamoach, when it comes to the brain, the intellect, chatuma vidoma lekoach hazikaron shuchavoy, that represents our brains, our intellect, our memories, and that is hidden. And accordingly, that's why the Shorosh is called Zikaron, because that is not something that is seen. That is not a Maisa. Os, the Os is seen. That's the Maisa. That's the Tefillin Shel Yad when we do the mitzvahs. But when it comes to the understanding of the mitzvahs and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, intellectually, emotionally, etc., that is through the Zikaron, the brain. And that's why represented, the Moach, the brain, represented by the Tefillin Shel Rosh, that's why the Tefillin Shel Rosh is called a Zikaron and not an Os. And to get back to our pasuk accordingly, that's why the Tefillin Shel Yad is called an Os, representing actions that are seen by others. And when it comes to the Tefillin Shel Rosh, it's called a Zikaron, representing the Avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our minds, through our brains. Thank you so much for listening.